least our first two participants that I know their outcomes very well are doing extremely well from this surgery. And our participant has actually been seizure-free for almost a year now.
Fellow Homo sapiens, welcome back to Epilepsy Sparks Insights. Now, today, I confess you will hear me getting more than a little bit excited. So imagine if a stem cells could be developed and used to prevent seizures from occurring. Well, today, neurologist and neuroscientist David Spencer shares with us his research into inhibiting temporal lobe seizure activity through interneuron cell therapy, which he shall kindly explain because, yeah, I would have no idea how to do that. But please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Your comment and your like will help spread awareness of the epilepsies around the world.
It's great to be here, Tori, and thanks for the invitation. I really appreciate it. I'm an adult epileptologist. I work in the United States in Portland, Oregon, at a center called Oregon Health and Science University. So we have a comprehensive epilepsy center, and we take care of lots of people with epilepsy, from mild epilepsy to kind of the most complicated, challenging cases, helping with medical management, in some cases helping with guiding people through the process of epilepsy surgery or more kind of advanced therapies for treatment of epilepsy.
Could you tell us how much of your time is spent, say, in clinical work versus research?
I would say I'm more of a clinician than a researcher. I probably spend two-thirds of my time doing clinical work, a little bit more administrative role lately actually has taken over a little bit, but it's interesting as well. And then research, maybe you know, a third or so.
I mean, to me personally, and many people I speak to, research is crucial when it comes to giving hope to people affected by the epilepsies. What do you focus on when it comes to the research?
Yeah, I've been interested in a number of different areas. One is neuroimaging of epilepsy, trying to understand better how we can identify a seizure focus, what kind of different tools can be used to understand the brain structure and function. I've been interested in neurostimulation or neuromodulation. I know you had a podcast on that not too long ago, covering that topic. And then I think something we're going to talk about a little bit today, which is a new area for me, is looking at cell therapy for treatment of epilepsy.
So tell us about that cell therapy. I know it sounds a little bit scary to some people, but I think it sounds fascinating. What are the basics of that?
It's a really interesting, I think really appealing concept to me and to patients that I've talked to about it. And the idea is that, I mean, it's a little bit of a simplistic idea maybe, but in the brain, when someone's having seizures or is more prone to seizures, there's some imbalance between the kind of the cells in the brain that are more excitatory and cause the cells that they're connected to fire more rapidly. And then those that are inhibitory or might kind of be the brakes or slow down the firing of brain cells or neurons. And so, you know, trying to keep that balance between excitation and inhibition is really critical to help stabilize things and prevent seizures from happening. So the approach with the cell therapy is kind of a line of cells has been developed that are kind of the natural inhibitory cells of the brain. And the strategy then with this research is to actually implant these cells into the seizure focus. And they have the ability to make connections with the person's own brain cells in the area and kind of add to the inhibition or the ability to kind of break things or slow down things to prevent seizures.
Are these like complete cells that you put in, or is this like the whole shebang, you put in like lumps?
It's the whole shebang, yeah. These are cells that they're derived from stem cells, but it's not actually stem cells. They're developed from stem cells, and then they develop down a path into these actual inhibitory cells that are mature cells. The challenge, of course, is getting them into the right spot safely. So these are actually, they are surgically implanted into the seizure focus. And then they can migrate, they can recognize cells in the area, make connections, make synapses, and actually integrate into the circuitry.
This is amazing. So thinking of these stem cells, how do these specific stem cells, maybe I'm going into, we'll have an obvious answer, but how do they know to form brain cells instead of other types of cells if they're stem cells?
That's the in the actual development of the cell line that's used for the therapy. You can give different sort of trophic factors or different sort of treatments to kind of encourage them down a particular path of development so that they can be kind of trained to develop into a certain cell type.
It's like focusing on a specific, you know, muscle area, and you train that in the gym, and you've kind of done something similar for these stem cells to become the neurons that we need.
Exactly. So you can get a very kind of pure culture of these inhibitory cells that, so the important thing is that they no longer have the capability to divide. So the stem cells can kind of keep dividing and make more and more cells. These are a little farther down the path, so they're actually now kind of determined to be inhibitory cells. And if they're implanted, then they will no longer divide. So there's, you know, the idea is to not have the risk of having cells that continue to divide and could potentially develop a tumor or something. So they're carefully screened to avoid that problem.
That's so cool. At what stage in this research are you? So have you been using rodents, a more mature or sort of other animals? Have you used them in humans yet?
Yes, all the above. So there's a long history of what we call preclinical studies, you know, animal studies using animal models of epilepsy, a lot of them done in rodent models. So mice that have epilepsy that's resistant to treatment with anti-seizure medications, and then have the cells implanted. And I mean, they did remarkably well. About 2/3 of the mice became completely seizure-free, even in these very kind of resistant refractory models of epilepsy. So that was very, very encouraging. There were a lot of studies to look at, you know, how do you scale this up? What would be the right kind of dose of cells for a human? Because a human's temporal lobe, hippocampus, which is what we're targeting right now, is much larger than a mouse's. So there was a lot of work to look at that. Yeah, about 2 years ago, we started participating in this first in human study of inhibitory stem cell implants in people. So at our center, we had the second patient in the world who ever received this therapy, which was very exciting. And now there have been seven patients who have received this therapy, three more planned. So kind of the first wave of 10 implants is well underway and planned.
And the outcomes so far in the humans, have they been overall positive?
It's been very positive. You know, heavy note of caution, because this is very, very early days.
Yeah.
This stage of the study is focused mostly on safety. So we want to make sure that there aren't any unexpected, unintended consequences of doing the implants. We're studying first people, like a very narrow group of patients that have seizures coming from temporal lobe, and in particular coming from hippocampus. A lot of your viewers or listeners may be aware of all this, but the middle part of the temporal lobe. And so one nice feature of that design, of that selection of people, is that if they don't get an adequate response or there's any complications, they could still go on to have what might be a more traditional kind of treatment for drug-resistant epilepsy coming from the temporal lobe, which might be a temporal lobe surgery or a laser ablation.
What could potentially be the benefits of a person having cell therapy compared to, say, a resection or laser ablation?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's one of the reasons why I find this area really, really exciting, is that it's the idea is that it's more potentially of a restorative therapy rather than a destructive approach. So with epilepsy surgery, you know, we're trying to, people who've been through this process know there's often a long process of trying to identify exactly where the seizure focus is. Would it be safe to treat surgically? And then, you know, with surgery, with laser ablation, with different techniques, the idea is to try to identify and basically remove or destroy the tissue that's causing the seizures. And you know, we do go to great lengths to try to ensure the safety of that. But sometimes there are some trade-offs of some of that tissue may still be functional, even though it's causing problems by initiating the seizures. So with this approach, the idea would be you could you know, effectively treat the seizures without having to destroy or remove any brain tissue. You're kind of rebalancing or restoring function rather than being a destructive procedure. So that idea is really, really appealing.
Gosh, yeah, no, totally. I mean, one of the biggest things that I'll moan about, as well as other people affected and who may have had a resection, is that memory, oh my goodness, cognitive function is just horrific often. Not for everyone, as you know, but sometimes, especially if you've had the resection, it can feel like a real sort of cognitive disability sometimes. And so to me personally, that's why your work sounds very appealing. If you can prevent that from happening, that would be pretty fabulous.
Yes, I mean, we can't make claims about that yet, but I think that is one of the reasons this approach is being looked at, and that is clearly one of the risks with the surgical sort of approach, with a resective surgery approach.
Have you identified any side effects of this treatment so far?
At this stage of the research, the main focus is on safety, and so we have not seen any serious adverse events, any unexpected side effects from surgery so far. Again, seven people have received the therapy to this point. The participant at our center is now about a year and a half into treatment, and the longest person is coming up on 2 years pretty soon, this summer. And so it's not designed as an efficacy study or really to establish definitively how effective this is. But having said that, at least our first two participants that I know their outcomes very well are doing extremely well from this surgery. And our participant has actually been seizure-free for almost a year now.
How frequent were the seizures before?
Yeah, so they came into the study having a mix of different seizure types, but, you know, between 8 and 15 per month. So it's really been dramatic.
What's the next stage of your research?
The next stage would be a small study that's focused more on efficacy. So that's slated probably to begin in 2025, once we kind of get through the planned analysis was for 10 people looking at safety primarily. And so once they get far enough out to ensure that the safety looks very good, the next stage would then be a larger group looking at how effective it is.
And it sounds like everything's moving rather quickly as well.
It's happening slowly but quickly, both at the same time. So we're trying to, be careful to temper our excitement. There's a history that goes back. There was a lot of work done in cell therapy for Parkinson's disease 25, 30 years ago. It was extremely exciting at the beginning. They ran into some problems. Some of their bigger trials then didn't establish that it was as effective as it looked like initially, but that a lot of that work led to this, to develop the technology that allowed us to pursue this for epilepsy. And then there's now a definite resurgence of this work in Parkinson's again, and some very encouraging early results from those more recent Parkinson's studies too.
So I guess be excited, but don't be too excited. Because it's science, we never know.
it's a trick, but yeah, we don't want to oversell it until we really understand the bigger picture.
Thank you so much to David for sharing with us his exciting research into treating temporal lobe epilepsy using stem cells. To learn more about David's research into using these stem cells as a treatment for temporal lobe epilepsy with Neurona Therapeutics, do check out the links below this recording. If you haven't already, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and see you next time.